So you have one copy of everything coming in and going to NSA's secret room. And in the secret room was equipment by a private company called NARUS, a very small company hardly anybody's ever heard of, that created the hardware and the software to analyze these cables and then pick out the targets NSA is looking for and then forward the targeted communications on to NSA headquarters.
So you have these companies, AT&T and Verizon, that are secretly working with the NSA and tapping Americans' phone lines. And these companies actually outsource the actual tapping to some little-known foreign companies?
Yeah, there's two major, or not major, they're small companies, but they service the two major telecom companies. This company NARUS, which was founded in Israel and has large Israel connections, does the basically the tapping of the communications on AT&T. And Verizon chose another company, ironically also founded in Israel and largely controlled by and developed by people in Israel, called Verint. So these two companies specialize in what's known as mass surveillance. Their literature, I read this literature from Verint, for example, that's supposed to only go to intelligence agencies and so forth, and it says we specialize in mass surveillance, and that's what they do. They put these mass surveillance equipment in these facilities. So you have AT&T, for example, that considers it's their job to get messages from one person to another, not tapping into messages. And you get the NSA that says we want copies of all this. So that's where these companies come in. These companies act as the intermediary, basically, between the telecom companies and the NSA.
Now, Jim Vanford, take this a step further, because you say the founder and former CEO of one of these companies is now a fugitive from the United States somewhere in Africa?
Well, this is a company that the U.S. government is getting all its tapped information from. It's a company that Verizon uses as its tapping company, its eavesdropping company. And very little is known about these companies. Congress has never looked into any of this. I don't think they even know that there is, that these companies exist. But the company that Verizon uses, Verint, the founder of the company, the former head of the company, is now a fugitive in hiding out in Africa. In the country of Namibia, because he's wanted on a number of felony warrants for fraud and other charges. And then two other top executives of the company, the general counsel and another top official of the parent company, have also pled guilty to these charges. So, you've got these companies have foreign connections with potential ties to foreign intelligence agencies. And you have problems of credibility, problems of honesty and all that. And these companies, through these two companies, pass probably 80% or more of all U.S. communications at one point or another. And it's even gets even worse in the fact that these companies also supply their equipment all around the world to other countries, to countries that don't have a lot of respect for individual rights, Vietnam, China, Libya, other countries like that. And so these countries use this equipment to filter out dissident communications and people trying to protest the government. It gives them the ability to eavesdrop on communications and monitor dissident email communications, and as a result of that, people are put in jail and so forth.
And despite all of this,
this is a whole area.
Despite all of this, these telecom companies still have access to the most private communications of people all over America, and actually, it ends up around the world. And at the beginning of the summer, the Democrats and Republicans joined together in granting retroactive immunity to these companies for spying on American citizens.
Yes, they looked like they were going to have a fight earlier in February when the temporary law ran out and came time to either pass a new law or keep the old Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act the way it used to be with all the protections. And they did resist for a number of months. They resisted from February until August, but in August, the Congress, seeing the election is coming, most of them caved in and decided to just join in the administration's bill. And as a result, you have this fairly open-ended bill that came out that gives a lot of permissions to the NSA to do a lot of this eavesdropping without much accountability. I mean, it basically neutered the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, took a lot of powers away from them, and put the powers back at NSA. So and the ultimate problem is when you have NSA as both judge, jury, and executioner on the eavesdropper.
Jim Benford, we only have a few minutes, and I want to get to Bridgetown,
sure.
Missouri, the AT&T hub there. What is the NSA's role in spying there?
Well, Bridgetown, Missouri is one of the centers for AT&T because it's sort of central in the country, and they could control much of the network of AT&T from there. And it was there that AT&T actually developed a system by which they could get into fiber optic communications. And just like they built this secret, the NSA built this secret room in San Francisco, and Mark Klein said that he had heard that they had built the secret rooms in other places around the country. There was also a secret room built in Bridgeton, and the worrisome part of that is Bridgeton controls the whole network. So so you have the problem of these secret rooms not just being in San Francisco, they're throughout the network, and they're in other parts of the country, and the American public really has no idea what's going on in terms of who has access to their communications, what's being done with it. And is there somebody sitting there, as David Murphy Falk talked about in the NSA listening post in Georgia, are there people just sitting there listening to people's private conversations and laughing about them?
And the building
one final
in
thing.
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that it isn't just the picking up of these conversations and listening to them and laughing about them. These conversations are transcribed, and then they're recorded. And they're kept forever. There's a big building in Texas that's being built in San Antonio that's going to be used to house a lot of these conversations. NSA is running out of space at Fort Meade, their headquarters, so they had to expand, and they're building this very big building. It's reportedly going to be about the size of the Alamo Dome down there to store all this huge amount of data communications. And when you think how much information, 2 gigabytes, could be put on a small thumb drive, you can imagine how much information could be stored in a data warehouse the size of almost the size of the Alamo Dome.
We only have a minute, less than a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The building in Miami where all communications from Latin America are stored, and then a single switch for communications, much of Africa's communications, and finally where they can't get cooperation of companies, a specially built submarine designed to sit on the bottom of the ocean floor to tap foreign cables.
A lot of communications are consolidated. A lot of the international communications in South America all pass through one obscure building in Miami. And according to the landing rights that the company had assigned, which I read, they basically have to turn over everything that they get to the NSA if the NSA asks for it. So you have a problem here today. I mean, the overall big problem is that there is a tremendous amount of eavesdropping going on. It's all being stored. It's all being analyzed either electronically or by a human. And the public really doesn't have much of a knowledge of all this that's going on right now.
Jim Bamford, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Investigative journalist, author of 3 books, his latest on the National Security Agency, out today. The Shadow Factory, the ultra-secret NSA from 9/11 to the eavesdropping on America. That does it for a broadcast.